near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network, as always. And in the studio with me tonight, delighted to have with me is Lucy Zelich.
Hello.
Lucy Zella Zelich, how are you?
Very well, thank
you. Half-time heroes extraordinaire.
Oh, extraordinaire, I don't know about that.
It's coming out soon, it's coming out Wednesday.
Coming out Wednesday, very excited about
very
that.
Very excited, yeah. 57 pages.
57 pages yeah. long. You're looking at a magazine publication.
Oh, it's crazy. And Paddy Bordier is also with us. Paddy, how are you?
Hey, how are you going?
Very good.
Not quite the equivalent journalist, but giving it a go.
Yeah, you've got to give him a good rap too. You can't leave him
I'm
in the dark.
I'm going to produce
there.
My own 57-page document, I think.
I'm sure you're in the that office where you work, Paddy. You must do 57 pages
oh,
a day.
Oh, I do 57 pages. Don't you worry about
that's
that.
That's good enough for me, mate. Okay. What have we got this week? I've got a new printed version and I can't read my notes, but anyway.
We've got a lot going on this week, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We've got Socceroos in Korea. We've had a big chat about that already off air and we can't wait to get stuck into Kim Verbeek and his merry men. And we've got you can email us at the nearpost2xx@gmail.com. catch the podcast, and there will be a podcast this week because I'm technically a little bit more up to speed. So nearpost.blogspot.com to get the podcast, and of course on iTunes. Dedicate the show every week, and this week we're going to dedicate it, it's Ramadan, and we're going to dedicate it to Tariq Elrich. Nothing funny about Ramadan down this week.
No, there's nothing funny at all. No.
Tariq Elrich is doing Ramadan and playing with apparently the fasting
I mean, I've known of this to happen before, that the players actually, you know, they're on their fasting and they're doing all of that sort of thing for Ramadan, and they've said that they've managed quite well. So,
well, Tariq Elrich did, because in the 87th minute he sped past speedy Maddie Kemp and crossed the ball over. So maybe a few more guys in Australia should be on Ramadan.
it's not a new thing. I mean, players have been dealing with that for a long time. I've played with a few guys have had to go through Ramadan before, and it's hard work.
Absolutely.
Really, you mess up your preparation for the game, you're out of sync a little bit. It's a tough call, mate. No mistake about it.
It is, especially at the professional level, I guess.
That's
now,
right.
I've got a quiz question for our two genii across the desk.
Yeah, bring it on.
bring it on. The confidence.
We're ready for it now.
You don't want me to change that question? No.
No.
prepared question will go down fine, Eamon.
There was a fear in that no there. Okay, the question is, the Young Socceroos squad has been announced for the World Cup, and in a moment I will ask you to name any of the six Young Socceroos who are playing their football abroad.
From Perth Glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne Victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there
first. Sisak. Yeah, but that was Lucy's voice just coming through there, just trying to think about the answer there. So who have you got for us, Lucy, then? Obviously, Alex.
All right, yes. I mean, you would have caught the end of it.
I'm going to go for Alex Cissack. Yeah. All right, Lucy,
is that
go.
You, Paddy? Yeah. All right, my go. Then
hold on, Paddy.
My go is then Dean Boutsanis.
Alex Cissack, of course, a goalkeeper at Leicester City, and Dean Boutsanis at Liverpool as a keeper.
Huge.
Probably our next big player, certainly in my opinion. Maybe
rising
not the
star.
Opinion of others around the table.
No, I tend to agree with you, Paddy.
Well, potentially he is, yeah.
Yep.
Aaron Moy.
Bolton Wanderers, midfielder. Yeah. That's three we've got. Three more.
Who else have we got? Chris Hurd Aston.
Aston Villa, yep.
Yeah, Hurd. Excuse me, I've got a bit of an error in my notes here.
Well read.
Chris Hurd from Aston Villa.
Good
yes.
old Aston Villa, yeah. He's he's also a midfielder. And that's anybody else?
Ryan McGowan playing for Hearts. He's been playing for them for a while now.
Yeah, there's four of us he's at Hearts, but he's the one that's got the nod, I guess. And there's one more from
Ryan
somewhere.
McGowan.
Ryan McGowan. Sounds like a sort of movie, doesn't it? Western, and also
Hearts FC of Scotland.
Hearts
from.
FC of Scotland, yeah, just yes. below Celtic in the Premier League. And who else? One more.
One more. listen to the both of us one
James
more.
Holland?
James Holland.
James Holland, that's right.
Captain. And Captain, I think.
Captain extraordinaire.
Well deserved, I'm going to have to say. I've picked James Holland to be one of the rising stars of Australian football for a long time. And, I mean, despite the fact he's overbroad, I think he's one of the best things in terms of the young Socceroos that we've produced.
I'm scribbling his name down as we speak. It's one to watch.
One to watch.
Definitely good. So I've got some support on the panel tonight.
No, I think you're right. I just thought he went backwards a little bit with his last A-League season when I was expecting
him to
kick on.
You did mention that,
but having said that, he's now in Alkmaar in the reserves and doing very well. So good
well
stuff.
Done. Good luck to him.
Good. Yes, absolutely. We need more like him. Okay, we've got some news. Not a lot of news this week. I mean, there is a lot of news, but we don't have a lot. I'm going to start with Danny Allsopp. Danny Allsopp, hot off the press, has joined Qatari side Al Rayyan. So get your pension while you can, Danny. Well done.
Huge.
31, yeah.
Good money for him, last payday.
Yeah, Mark Viduka, still retired.
Talking about last paydays. Lucas Neal to Atletico Madrid.
What do we think about that?
We hope he moves before the World Cup, otherwise we'll be, after the weekend, we'll be short of a central defender.
Lucas Neal.
I have this Lucas image Neal. Of Mark Viduka and Lucas Neal in the playground, out in the park, doing their pre-season together. I just wondering
running
what
up and
those
down
two
the paddock.
Lads are up to. Why they are waiting so long? Come on,
Dukes. Come on, Dukes. Do another lap.
I mean,
and what does Duke say? What does he say?
I'll do a lap to the pie shop.
Yeah.
Later, but is Lucas. It the problem?
I'd like to apologise to Mark Viduka, one of my heroes.
Yeah, but let's ask the question here. I mean, is it the fact that maybe he's got too much choice and that he can't decide, or is it that there's no choice? He's got no options.
We're talking Lucas or Mark? No, Viduka.
About Viduka. Well, I don't think it's a question that he's got no choice. I think it's the fact that he hasn't put the agent, obviously. I mean, as he said, he wants to
no
play.
No good choice, I'll rephrase that.
Yes,
then.
He went to Fulham, and obviously playing in England is just not what he wants to do. I think he felt he wants a Zelko. Zelko's outdone them all, hasn't he? He's got a little number down there in Greece on a little island, and he's pretty happy with himself, isn't
he? Oh, I'd be pretty happy as well.
Yeah, that's right. And Viduka and Lucas probably, like, I mean, Viduka must be saying, yeah.
I can't even imagine. We've heard nothing from a Viduka. At least Lucas Neal has had a couple of snippets in the media.
There were rumours going around about Viduka. Remember, there were rumours floating about where he was going to go in terms of a club. But again, there is more solid news floating about Lucas.
But, you know, where's the Australian journalism? The sports media? I mean, they can't find
They call
anything.
It the world game, but not here in Australia.
No, it's like, could you imagine in England if there was somebody running around like an ex, you know, top player of the English national team? And he's like, I don't know who would be comparable, Michael Owen, maybe Robbie Fowler. They'd be all over it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the part-time intern who works for BBC World Service really isn't stepping up to the plate here.
But let's say he does go to Atletico Madrid. What do we think about that in terms of his style of play as a player? Will he suit the styling of that brand of football? You don't think he'll play?
It's a very different league.
He'll be paid to sit on the bench?
It's a different league, and you never quite know how you're going to adjust for that.
Of course.
I'm all well and good with, and I think it's great that Australian players are playing in each and every league.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a World Cup year, and this is our captain.
He will play.
Really, I'd like a much more settled start.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
No, I think he will play. I'm sure it's in his contract that he needs to
that he has to play.
I'm sure he's not going to go to a club and say, I'm sure if he can put it into his contract that I want a starting berth, that's the way it works, isn't it? Scott McDonald to stay with Celtic for now, despite Wigan's very keen interest. And finally, not one but two Western Sydney bids down the gurgler in just 3 days.
Unbelievable.
Not a bad job.
Does that mean that we're front runners then?
The word from the FFA, I think, is we'll try and get Canberra in. What the
we'll
heck
does
that
mean? We'll try and get Canberra in.
What does that mean?
That's a strong statement that you're looking for, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I think if that makes us the front runner, then
they're really dilly-dallying about,
they
aren't they?
They are dilly-dallying. There's something going on there. Well, they don't want us, do they?
I think it's all about
the Fox Sports money, but we're not going to go too much into that just now. We're going to talk about the Socceroos. Our wonderful Socceroos. Now, off air, Lucy Zelich, Paddy Bordia, and myself were talking about the game in Korea where we got hammered, lost
3-1. Absolutely pumped.
Paddy thought we got pumped.
Hammered and not in a good way.
But Lucy wants Pim out. So
I want Pim out, I do. And I mean,
Lucy.
And I'm outnumbered in this opinion because I just seem to think that I don't trust his instincts. I don't think that in terms of his recruitment, I mean, we were talking about it earlier, particularly you, Paddy, you said that, I mean, it was a bit bizarre, the squad
it
that
was
he...
It was an unusual style of play. It was an unusual formation.
Tell us about it, Paddy.
What was unusual about it?
Okay, so what we've traditionally gone with is one striker up front, and we've as you need to do in international football, held strong for 20, 30 minutes, really made a base and then gone from there. We really didn't do that.
None of that.
Two strikers up front, McDonald, who played reasonably well, but obviously didn't get enough shots on goal.
We have been crying out, though, for two strikers. The media has been going bonkers.
The media has been crying out.
I haven't been crying out.
Okay, no
tears coming
from me.
You don't think that we need any then, Paddy?
I think his results speak for himself. Oh. And what we've been doing has been getting us results. And this is how international football is played.
Yeah.
You know, it's not league football. It is about getting the points when you're playing away. And we really didn't go out to do that. Mm. We went out with an attacking style, and it was just suicide.
Now, 3-1 with Paddy Kisnorbo in the team is actually a victory, I think, for Australian football. Because I don't think it's as bad as you think. I mean, he's not going to take Paddy Kisnorbo to the World Cup. Because
oh, he is not.
No, so it's
not.
Just a little bit of a cunning plan, isn't it?
But at least he gave a goal. I mean, we can give him that.
He gave a goal. Yeah, he did. There was a goal made in the A-League. Jason Kalina passed the ball behind Stefan Newton. That was a goal made for Korea. But it was made in the A-League. I mean, Jason Kalina never did that when he played
overseas. Watching that moment of football.
No, come on, there were some good moments there. I thought actually Australia played quite well.
What do we think
after that first 20 minutes? I think we started to pull things back together.
Well,
but for
they
that first
started
20,
to get under
really
control.
I was quite surprised that we actually were able to take the game to Korea a little bit and create a few chances. I mean, we had half the team out, remember?
We did. Look, the back line was introducing themselves to each other as the whistle was blowing for the start of the game.
Stefanuto is not a soccerer,
well,
is he?
I was just about to ask, what do we think about Stefanuto? I mean, he's a bit of an unknown if you think about it. I mean, he burst onto the scene a couple of months ago, and even myself and Ned were sitting there on the couch watching game and said, who's Stefanuto? You
know, that's Ned Zilic, by the way, just to drop that one in. Because I was sitting there with my daughter, Alice, and she said exactly the same. She said, who's that Stefanuto guy?
Stefanuto.
But I thought, you know, if not even he knew, then what chance did anyone have? So, and you know, we did the Google thing and we found out a few things about him and things like that. But I mean, I agree with you, Eamon. I don't think he's soccer is material.
I like it. Ned Googling Stefanuto. Ned the player. But anyway, he was. No, we do know about him. He played against.
He's not the player.
Because he's still quite
right
young.
Yep.
No, he's 29.
No, he's
29.
He's Googling. He's 29. He's been in Norway forever.
Oh, I thought he was a bit younger than that.
No,
I've
don't think he is.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Seriously, I thought he was younger as
well. Yeah, and I think also he played against China last time he played. Look, I just don't think he's up to it as an international footballer.
Look, if you can't reach your potential by 29, then, you know, what are we thinking here, really?
Well, it says something about our left-sided defence. Mm. Well, we've got David Carney, who's not a fullback. He's the second choice, isn't he?
Yeah.
So we tried to turn him into a fullback, and he does okay.
I think he can fill that role, you know. I mean, like you said, it's not where he's normally supposed to be on the park, but I think that he can suffice that role well enough to hold it for a little while.
Scott Chipperfield's a bit creaky, isn't he, obviously, with age.
But a bit rough around the edges.
I think so. I don't think he's got much left in him.
No.
So what are we looking at there? Did anybody come out with any, you know, were you impressed with anybody there? Nicky Cole set us a light when he came
out. I was impressed with Nicky Cole.
I love Nicky Cole.
Oh, God. Oh, we love Nicky Cole.
You don't like him, Eamon.
Well, he's all right for Crystal Palace, isn't he? If Paddy Kisnorbo is a Leeds player, then Nicky is probably that championship type player. And I think when you're playing as a playmaker at Nicky's standard, we want someone who's playing for Liverpool and Man United.
I think Nicky is a player who would do well in Spain, France, Holland. I don't know that he's good for the championship.
Not that I disagree. I mean,
you're already shot down Pim. Is there anybody else you want to take down? So go ahead.
No, I'm a big supporter of Nicky Cole, and I think he would. I think he'd do well quite, you know, in Asian football.
He turned down the move, though, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. I was shocked by that because I was really looking forward to seeing him play in that kind of a league. I thought that would have suited his strengths.
I met Nicky.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not shocked by that he turned down the move to Asia.
Why, Zach? Give us a little bit more background to that. You can't tease us with something like that.
Doesn't that say all? I mean, look, I love him as a player with Newcastle Jets, and I love him in the A-League. I think fantastic skill, great
player. Do you think
he's
one of those players that's outstanding in the A-League but a bit subpar when he goes somewhere else?
The position he plays and the style of play that the sort of player he's a real playmaker, he's a flashy player, and you've got to play at that top level. You know, you're talking about, who's he up against? He's up against the real playmakers in the world, the Ronaldos. And he doesn't come in at that level, does he? I don't think. So I think why is he playing in the championship?
Yeah, championship is high pressure. You know, those guys are fast. There's no space for him. He had a lot more space in the A-League.
He did look
but
faster
there are
than
leagues. There are leagues where he can play his trade. I think he would do
Didn't go so well in Turkey. Elsewhere. Didn't stay long in Turkey.
But no, I think there were other issues in Turkey. I don't know that that was a skill-based decision.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that as well. There had to be something more under the table happening there.
Okay, so Josh Kennedy, we're happy with him still?
Oh, I like Josh as well.
Scott McDonald, never going
to
score?
If Josh continues to be tall, I'm happy with him.
So that's it. That's our tactic, isn't it? I can see it now. Mark Milligan is going to chuck that throw in. Kennedy's going to flick it in. And Kale's going to be spending his whole World Cup running in behind to head it into the...
And ignoring journalists.
I just want to point out that we're not Holland and we need to work with the resources that we've got. And if we've got an incredibly tall guy who's good with his head, then that's what we've got to go.
I think we need a player like him, and I think he does well. I think he does do well. Who? You don't, Paddy? Obviously.
No, I do.
Yeah, Josh,
I do.
Again, I'd put him in the Nicky mould that he's not Viduka. He plays a similar sort of role in that he's trying to hold the ball up, but he's not able to hold it up as effectively.
But he's scoring goals.
Against the Asian teams. I mean, you know.
And they're all about 5'2".
Well, they're not anymore, are they?
Which I was really pleased with.
Qatar don't need how to defend
Milligan,
him.
Milligan has been taking his steroids and he can throw. He was throwing the ball right across the pitch.
What do you reckon?
When you've got Josh Kennedy and Tim Cahill and hell.
What do you reckon?
Craig Moore coming through the back. We've got some chances for some goals off those throws. Mm.
That's true, but I was just wondering what the Shanghai must be doing in their in their training sessions, right, boys?
Chinese swimming coach,
can
maybe.
Show the language. I mean, because Milligan, he never could do that in the early.
No, I'd never seen him do that before. No, yeah, I suppose that was just
probably the Australian coaches couldn't figure out that he could throw, so we didn't try that one.
It's a hidden gem.
Yeah, Craig Foster said he wasn't appropriate.
Talent. Yeah.
Okay. What next? A-League weekend.
A-League. Wow.
What happened? Here we go. Let's give you some scores from the weekend in case, you know, you were watching.
In case you missed it?
Well, in case you're one of those 84,000 million Australians watching AFL.
Instead of the five and just tune into the radio station on weekdays.
Yeah.
No, one of them.
Melbourne Victory 1, Newcastle Jets with Labino Heliti back on the Kosovo refugees scoring to equalise there, one each. Wellington Phoenix 1.
Labino, just quickly back, there. Yeah. He left and he's come back now.
3 years abroad. A little bit of Poland, a little bit of somewhere else. Mm. Can't remember where, but yeah. He's back. He looked good. I liked him.
I thought, look, even whilst he was at the Jets at that time, I thought he was quite a good player. And I mean,
well, he was only here for a short time, and he scored a great goal. But he scored a goal, a nice goal, a little bit of pace. So Branko Kalina's done all right to pick him up, I think.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
So, I mean, certainly Donny de Groot, the other... Jet player, he's a striker as well apparently, but he's never scored, has he?
Well, they're definitely
one of those non-scoring strikers.
Yes,
well, they're definitely not doing as badly as we predicted. I mean, I know myself,
seriously?
I thought the Jets are going to be bottom 10.
No, they're not doing as badly as you predicted.
Fourth.
That's right. But the rest of us knew that they were going to do well. Central Coast Mariners beat Perth Glory 2-1 in front of 5,000 people in Canberra Stadium, which is only 1,000 left in the Gold Coast. Give that team to Canberra. They would have 15,000 at their home game when there was two teams, or a team that actually came from Canberra.
But I mean, it wasn't a massive blockbuster game anyhow. So if we had a team like, you know, maybe perhaps like teams like the North Queensland Fury, or I mean, despite the fact they're not doing well, people have a bit more curiosity. They want to know how they're playing and what they're producing.
The FFA didn't come into town. There was no promotion.
This is my big thing. Mm. Oh, there was barely any advertising.
Nothing.
I saw one poster. That was it. And that's a reasonable crowd for people that just weren't told about the game in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I spoke to a fellow soccer fan, and she had said to me, she said, there was zippo. She said, I had no idea the game was on until that Friday. No, when did they play? Saturday?
Friday.
It was a Friday. She said, until that Friday, I had no idea about the game. And so what happened there? No.
I think the FFA clearly don't want Canberra. I mean, obviously, the Socceroos brought in 20,000 people. Socceroos' third team in March. That was the time to give us the licence and say, right, you've got 3 or 4
of
months.
If it was
going to
happen,
it
would happen then.
Yeah,
but they've just played as long. And now it shot them in the foot because the two Western Sydney
have
bids
pulled out.
Mm. There is no money in Western Sydney. So FFA, ha.
Ha. How do you like
11
that?
11 teams in your league, hey? And wait till the Central Coast come next time. You think we're going to go and watch them? Get nicked. You're dreaming. Okay, Gold Coast, Sydney 2-1. We'll talk about that in a minute. North Queensland 1, Robbie Fowler. Excellent goal. We've always said Fatty Fowler was good for the A-League.
Thanks, and, Fatty. We love your work, Fatty.
I recall slagging him off. But anyway.
No, we all have.
That was too long ago, Paddy. Your memory.
So
North Queensland 1, Brisbane 1. Just on Robbie Fowler. Yeah, we did slag him off. Great goal, and he's played.
Wasn't it fantastic?
Fabulous.
Yep.
Spectacular goal. I saw it in the highlights.
I never knew you were so good, you know.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I was a little bit surprised at everybody, really. What do you know? He's got a great touch, he's got a good move, and he's able to put it in the back of the net.
You're not
crazy.
Joking. He's got a great touch. To me,
there we go. It's fantastic. Stand by my statement.
Robbie Fowler is not as fat as I thought he was.
Yeah.
Okay, Gold Coast, Sydney. Look, I love this game.
Oh, so did I.
Go for it, Lucy. Tell us about it.
That was my. There's nothing else I can really say. I love the match. I thought they dominated so well. I mean, Sydney FC. They were just, their defence was in tatters. Okay. I mean, when they came through, the Gold Coast United, they're just on fire.
Had half the team out. Jason Chilean was out. Joel Porter took a rest early.
Of course, and you know, we had those fill in, like we had Taj Minikin and Robson and Caravella.
Caravella,
so come in there and they did
Caravella.
So well.
How good was Caravella?
Frank Farina's nephew.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. That's an interesting fact. I didn't even know that one, actually.
No, well,
yeah,
no,
they mentioned about
it's my only interesting
18,000 times on the telly. It's getting a little tiring towards the end of the
It's like saying Robbie Fowler's God. They say, Zen Caravanella, whatever his name is. Yeah, that's it. Frank Farina's nephew.
It's part of his name, I think.
That's what we should do. We should keep a contest to how many times to mention the word God and Frank Farina's
nephew
and see what they can put.
And add it up and then see what you get out of it.
Yeah. Presence at the
end. I mean, like I said, I love the game. I'm actually enjoying, and I'm surprised at the way that the Gold Coast are going, because everyone, you know, they thought new team, they're not going to be able to gel, what's going to happen, but they're doing surprisingly well. And they have, you know, the all talk, no action has been completely quashed because they're doing very well.
The brilliant team. Great to watch.
Yep.
Fantastic game.
I find myself drawn
to
them every single weekend.
That's right.
They are.
Why is no one watching them? Why are they only getting 6,800 people?
What's the problem? I mean, I had a look at the Daily Telegraph
the other
week.
Do they have televisions in the Gold Coast?
Yeah. And they had the stats. They pulled up the stats and showed, you know, the kinds of crowds that the A-League teams are drawing at the moment. And, I mean, in comparison to when the league first kicked off, I mean, this is, I mean, we've got a problem here.
Huge problem. Yeah. I think you're
very
right.
Very big problem.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons for it, I mean, in the Brisbane, they're talking about the price of the season tickets went up from $300 with two or three extra games, so you'd expect it to go up to maybe $400. Yep. The family pass has gone up to $1,000.
$1,000?
No. Well, and I mean, family passes, what are you talking about? Two adults and two.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's
children?
Not. That only has to. I mean,
two people acting like
that's
children.
Enough to go from 12,000 to 7,000, isn't it? If you're going to that sort of price.
Yeah.
But
that's
insane. The other crowds, I had somebody said to me, Clive Palmer's trying to, rather than saying, I'll start with 15,000 and drop away, like some of the other teams, start small. And build it.
Of course, that's the only way you can go. I
but
mean,
only
again.
He can afford to do that, probably, because anybody else is. All the clubs must be in trouble. They're already in trouble.
Dire straits financially.
Make no mistake about it. The A League is a new league, and we need to establish that fan base. It's about bringing those kids in, getting them linked with those clubs, making them try and go there, making them go regularly.
Yeah, make them go. No, you're right, Paddy. Make them go.
Is there any way we can do it?
Force them.
You can link to their school results.
Yeah,
link to the world.
Yeah, you are.
Well, in that case, it's linked to your school results.
Realistically, you've got the AFL and Rugby League. The A-League season started a bit earlier. So normally we start sort of in finals when there's only three or four games on each weekend. We're up against, in August now, we're up against the other two main codes. And make no, I mean, if you've got 80,000 going to Melbourne to watch a game...
Isn't it ridiculous?
You know, what are they doing?
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
In Rugby League, I mean, the crowds, you know, you're trying to break and smash a culture that really, with the we don't have any free-to-air coverage. You know, people... Basically, you forget from year to year who the teams are. If you're not passionate about the A-League, how do you learn about these teams?
I think what you just mentioned there, the fact that there's no free-to-air coverage, I mean, that's problem number one for me, in my mind. Because if you're not getting people that are able to actually watch the games, get a bit more involved and a bit more interested, that's going to then encourage them perhaps to buy a season ticket, then, you know, what can you expect?
What I worry about is when I look back to Perth Glory being established, when they used to get really, really good crowds.
Oh, back and in the NSL, they were on fire, weren't they?
Now they're struggling a little, but their crowds are still reasonable. Mm. What's going to happen when Gold Coast struggle?
Because
right now they are a fantastic team. Surely they've got to at some point.
They are, and I think they've brought something really great into the A-League in terms of football, you know, the style of it. But
I mean,
again,
where would we be without them?
Who would you want to be watching?
Yeah, the Central Coast.
Who would you want to be watching?
I'd watch the Central Coast again.
There's some good teams
You're
going to
say the Central Coast?
Well, no, I mean, if there was no Gold Coast this year, you'd be going around watching Central Coast again and you'd think, oh, will I watch that game? No, I won't.
Yeah,
so, I mean, the Gold Coast, like Paddy, you guys said, Lucy, you know, that was the game you wanted to watch.
It was.
Yeah, and you pick out the game.
It was the one game I made time for, absolutely.
And now this weekend, we'll go down the same thing. We've got Adelaide versus the Central Coast, Newcastle versus Brisbane, Sydney versus North Queensland, Melbourne versus Wellington, Perth versus Gold Coast. Who are you going to pick out?
Well, yes.
Of course, the Perth Gold Coast game is going to be a cracker.
It is. The three Socceroos.
I'm actually contractually obliged to watch Perth every week as well. Contractually obliged. Some promises were made during a drunken evening.
It's going to be a cracker because, again, Perth have recruited really well this season. I think there's still a bit more to come from
them. There is. I like the striker, Branko Jelic, as well. I think he's coming to. Go back to that point about the. Who the heck are you promising to watch Perth with?
Well, I
went, and why?
I was there when Perth started up, Perth Glory, and, you know. They're my team, and I try and watch them every week. I'm very, very frustrated at the way they came out of the NSL. And
they're your
the
team. You've been on the near post for like months.
I know.
And months.
See, I've been
and
trying
we
to
haven't
keep
known any of this.
Disconnected from that.
You've talked about Bordeaux and some French wine.
Well, yes. About Bordeaux all night.
But now it's Perth Glory.
Surely Laurent Blanc is the best coach in the world, is he not?
Just because they've been bottom of the table for years, Perth Glory. You failed to mention.
And they've got a ridiculous name.
Well,
let's not forget that.
And who's your team then?
My team.
Yeah. Do you have one?
Well, I'm the host. I don't know. I'm host of the show. I'm host of the A-League. Yeah. I mean, I don't need a team.
Well,
I don't know.
Do
now?
Celtic play in the A-League? I heard they were making moves.
No, there are a load of Rangers guys playing and they're doing crap their team, aren't they, up in Brisbane. So
I noticed Queensland Fury doing the Celtic huddle at the beginning of the game.
That's right.
And they're taking the green and white.
Well, it's funny you should say that because Ian Ferguson, the manager, ex-former Ranger, his brother is ex-captain of Glasgow Rangers as well. Ian Ferguson said when they wanted green and white, he said, no, don't have green and white hoops because not a lot of people like that colour around the world. Coming from a bitter little Rangers man, I think we've got a slightly bigger fan base, Mr. Ferguson.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, so I hope you get thrashed by Sydney FC on the weekend. Not that we bring our Rangers Celtic bias to this show.
Not me at all.
And we're delighted to see Brisbane struggling with Big Bob Rangers Malcolm and Craig Rangers Moore.
Delighted is a harsh word.
And absolutely even more delighted that Kevin Muscat, the ex-Rangers players, out injured.
So that'd be keeping you very happy.
In fact, when you think about it, the reason the A-League gets criticised is because there are no former Celtic players in the league.
It's true.
And when we had Bobby Petter, there was a bit of style there, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm, there was, but actually.
I think it's fair to say that you have some issues, Amy.
Yeah, well, I have a chip on both shoulders. Evenly balanced.
It's a heavy burden.
It is. Yeah. Okay, so this weekend, Adelaide Central Coast, you're going to turn the telly on for that one?
No.
No, you're not. Okay.
I'm not a fan of the Central Coast. I mean, Laurie McKinnon, I think he's a great man, but as a coach, I'm always umming and ahhing about him. The Central Coast, they just come out there, work horses, run hard, play hard, and that's it. There's no real
they
skill.
Did some wonderful stuff. Oh, no, they've changed their team a little bit this year. McGlinchey, there's a former Celtic player, McGlinchey. He's got a little bit of a forward pass in him, hasn't he? Yeah. He's got a little bit of something in him.
I won't turn on the telly to watch that one, no. But
I
think
will.
That
that's my commitment.
I think it could
to this
be a
radio show.
That's your commitment. I think that.
Plus,
the Central Coast will take that game out. I do predict
they will.
That,
yeah. Okay.
They're doing very well this season, by the way.
Sydney FC lost. Just a quick mention on them because you have to mention it when Sydney lost. For my special friend who listens, Con Stammer cost us because he loves them and he'll be upset.
They did lose. I thought they played much better in the second half, actually. I think they're a very fit team. It's going to show at the end of the season.
John Lewis, are you going to score any more goals?
No. That's the end of the show and that's the end of John Lewis's career. Thank you very much. And
she's
if you're going to Near Post,
get in first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, The Near Post.